sense to sing it that permanently, because I want to keep looking at it to him, but nearly everyone I've seen I like. All right, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 again. Now this is the beginning of our Lord's public preaching. And very first message out of his mouth publicly, very first words, and this in these few verses we have the calling out of some of his disciples. And the message which our Lord first preached is still the message today. It's still the message needed today. And the way in which he called these disciples is still the way in which he calls out his disciples today. Nothing's changed. God has not changed. The Word of God has not changed. The way he saves has not changed. And this is a beautiful story about the Lord calls his people. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. All right, let's look at verse 14 again. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. John was put in prison for preaching, as were all of the prophets before him. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And all of the prophets in the Old Testament were persecuted and apprehended at some point and in prison. And all of, most of them were killed for preaching the truth, as were the apostles later. But John came preaching. And it would happen now to preachers of the truth. It would happen now were it not for God's grace and his the laws of this land, which we are blessed to live under, a democracy. It would happen still. Preachers of the truth would be apprehended. Well, it says Jesus came preaching. John came preaching, and Jesus came preaching. See, God has never left himself without a witness. Moses died, Joshua was raised up. Elijah ascended, Elisha came forth. Samuel died, David was raised. Paul, Timothy, and so on. So John was put in prison, seemingly silenced, and Jesus came. The Lord Jesus. So, God has not left himself without a witness. Every generation has heard the truth. Paul said that. Have they not all heard? Yea, verily, the sound has gone throughout the earth. David said. John was a preacher, and our Lord was a preacher. Now, preaching and preachers. Preachers and preaching are scoffed at today. They are disdained. They are mocked by this world and called fools and their foolishness. Preachers and preachers. And I must concur or agree concerning most of these things. They are fools. They act like fools, and what they're preaching is foolishness. When the Word talks about the foolishness of preaching, it's not saying that preaching is foolishness. Nor are the preachers of the gospel fools. They're wise men. But he's saying the world, what the world calls foolishness, is the power of God. Listen to Romans 10. It says this. In Romans 10, how shall they call? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him, true God, true Christ, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God sent prophets in the old to tell the people who God was. God sent Moses to tell them He was a spokesman, tell them how to worship God, what God's like, and so forth. How shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? Now, I recognize that any Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Harriet can say they are sent by God. And they do. But the fact is, God does send His preachers. He always has. And He always will until it's over. God does send some men, mind you, men, as preachers. They're messengers, they're declarers. They're no better than anybody else. They're no holier than anybody else. They're no by nature, no smarter than anybody else. And God calls them like anybody else. But God equips them for this ministry. He equips them. They're taught by God nothing different than anybody else, than anybody else. But they are taught by God, equipped by God, given the ability to preach the gospel. And God sends them. God sends them wherever He has them to go, and He opens the door for them to pray. And they're to do one thing. John came doing one thing. Malachi came doing one thing. On and back. Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel did one thing. John, Peter, James, Paul, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew. One thing. That's it. They were preachers. They were not socializers. They were not organizers. Certainly weren't patronizers. They were preachers. They weren't baptizers. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. This is where Paul talks about this foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians 1. You have it? 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse 15. Verse 14. Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. There was kind of a division in the church of Corinth. Some of them were saying, well, we like Paul, well, we like Apollos, well, we like Peter, well, we like this guy, we like that guy. Well, I was baptized by John. Well, I was baptized by Paul. Paul said, I thank God I didn't baptize any of them. But two, Crispus and Gaius. Then he said, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Verse 16. I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, he says, I know not whether I baptized it. I can't remember, he says, if I baptized anybody else. He names just three or four people he baptized. He said, I don't remember if I baptized anybody. If he had to report to the Southern Baptist Convention, they'd have said he was failed. What do you mean you don't know how many baptized? No, I'm glad. He said, verse 17, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. I'm not sent to count heads, to baptize, to build big works, but to preach the gospel. That's what he said, just to preach the gospel. And he went on down to say, verse 21, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That is, they can't figure God out by their own searching and seeking and reading and studying. It pleased God by the foolishness, or what the world calls foolishness, of preaching. I'm not going to sit and listen to some man stand up and tell me, I'm smarter than him, I have more degrees than he has, right? He can't teach me anything.
That's right.
Go on. Believe. And you won't be taught anything. Our Lord said, if you be converted and come to the field. Everybody had to sit at the feet of fishermen. And marveled. They themselves marveled more than anybody that they were able to preach. Well, go back to the text now, Mark 1. But this preaching and the preaching of the gospel, it's not preaching. It's not just preaching, you know, standing up and carrying on and acting like you're going through the motion. It's like that. This might wake you up. This is Pentecostal woman had a preacher over her house one day, and he said, "My boy John, I think he's going to be a preacher." And forgive me, just get your attention. And the fellow said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yeah, come out here, I'll show you in the barn." She said, "John, show the preacher how you preach." And he said, "Well," he said, "I saw the dog the other day. He was walking down the road." He said, "Come on now, John, this is a preacher." He said, "I saw the dog the other day. He was running down the road." "That's a preacher." "Oh, he's a preacher." "Huh?" I said, "Top of that. That ain't preaching. Preaching the gospel. You forgive me for doing that? Got everybody here now." Preaching the gospel. Not preaching foolishness. Not acting like a fool. Not preaching anything. What is your preacher for? He preaches the Bible. Well, what is he preaching about? Well, just the Bible. It's the gospel. The gospel of God, the gospel concerning His Son, which He promised before in the prophets, concerning His Son, and declared to be His Son with all power, and by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, and all that He did to save sinners. The gospel. John came preaching the gospel. John's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at our Lord's first words in Mark chapter 1. He came preaching, verse 15, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Same thing John preached. Repent and believe the gospel. All right? Before we look at this message, let's look at who this is preaching. Now, and to further magnify the office of preaching, God Almighty had one son. His occupation was preacher. It's an honorable position. Though it's filled with fool, yet it is. There are many wise men. Who is this? Go back to Malachi 3. Malachi 3, it says Jesus came preaching. Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi. Last chapter. Next to last chapter. Malachi chapter 3. Now, the Lord said of John the Baptist. Do you remember when the Lord said, when you went out to see John, what did you go to see? Remember that? He said, "You go out to see a preacher? I tell you, more than a preacher. He's more than a preacher. God's boy." Well, Jesus came preaching. Jesus, I tell you, more than Jesus. He's more than this man. Look at Malachi 3, verse 1. "Behold," now this is the prophecy of John coming. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Talking about John. John's the messenger, the forerunner, who shall prepare the way. Remember? "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," Isaiah said. "And the Lord," whom you see shall suddenly come to his temple, the messenger, the head of the covenant, the Lord himself. I am coming, he said. I send my messenger before. Prepare my way for me and the Lord. Jesus, who did you go out to see? Jesus? The Lord. This is the Lord. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, as Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9. Oh, there was a child born yet, but the Son was given. And his name is to be called Wonderful Counsel, the Mighty God. Lord Jesus, this is God manifest in the flesh. The Everlasting Father. The Son is in reality the Father. The child of mother is the father of mother. Great is this mystery of God. God manifesting. Not Mary's son, Jesus, but Mary's heavenly father, Jehovah. Prince of peace, the Lord of heaven, the government upon his shoulder, the creator, the sovereign ruler, the controller, the despot, the monarch, the king of the universe is coming. The king is here, the one with all dominion, all authority, he said, is given unto me in heaven and earth. The one who chooses whom he will. The one who has mercy on whom he will. The one who saves whom he will. The one who kills, as Hannah said. The one who kills and makes alive, who raises up and casts down. The one who gives eternal life to whom he will. The one who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, and none can stay his royal hand or question his will. Jesus? Who's preaching here? Who is this talking here? Who has come? Jesus. I tell you more than Jesus. This is the King of the universe. And we're going to see in a little while he's come to call out his servants. All right, look at verse 15 in our text again. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Time is fulfilled. Paul wrote Galatians in the fullness of time. At the exact time. Exact point in time when God ordained, which God ordained before the world came. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. In the fullness of time, it says, time is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is this. Write down the word, the kingdom. The dominion of the king. The king's dominion. The king himself is here, and he has dominion. The kingdom is here. One time our Lord said, don't be looking for an outward kingdom. Don't be looking for them to build another temple over in Jerusalem. They might build it. They did. The Lord is not going to go there. As soon as he comes to this planet, he's going to destroy it with the brightness of his coming. Amen. He's not going to sit on that throne that David sat upon over there in that dirty city called Jerusalem. He's sitting on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's already seated on the throne. His throne. The king's throne. Don't look for a future kingdom. Don't look for an outward kingdom. Don't look for the Jews to gather in Jerusalem. He's gathering his Jews in Zion right now. Look around you. You'll see something. We're not going to Jerusalem. Are we? Are we all going to go to Jerusalem? Go to the Holy City? Yes, we are. But it's not over there. We're going to the heaven of Jerusalem. We're all going to the Holy City. He's gathering his people. All Israel shall be saved. Time to do it. A Scotch-Irish Jew. Yes, I am. He is a Jew which is one inward circumcision of the heart. Kingdom is here. The king is here. And he's calling out his servants. He's the one doing the calling. He's the one marking his servants. He's calling them out. All right, here's the message which he uses to call out. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, this is a king talking here. Kings do not make requests, Mark. They never have. Kings do not ask their subjects anything ever. Kings never. Nor do their ambassadors ever go out and say, if any wants to know if you will please accept his word. Please, all you servants who are most needed by the poor and lowly king, would you please accept him as your personal king? He's hoping you will. He's standing outside right now, wanting to come in here, if you'll just let him. Foolishness, isn't it? Now that's the preaching of foolishness. That's the preaching of foolishness. And perhaps that's the reason the world calls preaching foolishness. Huh? They see through this foolishness. All this talk about a God who's not God at all. That's foolishness. Now this is the king standing, and he's making commands. He doesn't make requests. Kings don't do that. Scripture says this. Listen to it. God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Not ask them. Kings don't ask. Kings don't make requests of beggars. Kings don't make requests of beggars. Beggars make requests of kings. And here's what he said. Repent. Now what is repentance? Well, you just better quit smoking cigarettes. I know that. That devil's weed will send you right. Now, Jill, you better quit wearing them short shorts. I'm telling you. It's really this fun. Short shorts. I'm glad some people don't wear short shorts. It would be a crime, a sin, but nobody wears short shorts. Good. Repent. What is repentance? What is repentance? Repentance is condemnation of your sin. Repentance is condemnation of your sin. It's hating yourself. It's renouncing yourself, all that you are. When our Lord said, he that cometh after me, let him deny himself. That's what repentance is. Deny yourself. Deny any goodness in you. Deny any worth in you. Deny any ability in you. Deny any wisdom in you. Deny anything in you. Any goodness, anything lovable about you. Deny it all. Say, in my hands no price I bring. I'm a beggar. I need mercy. That's repentance. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I'm guilty. I need justification. I'm lost. I need found. I'm hopeless. I need help. I'm strengthless. I need strength. Huh? I'm unrighteous. I need righteousness. That's repentance. It's to deny yourself. It's to renounce yourself. Chiefly, your sin. What you are, and your sins, and they go much deeper than fame. When the Scripture mentions the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, it doesn't really talk about any outward bad habits. Read it for yourself. Sin, our Lord said, what goes into the mouth doesn't defile a man. You smoke 5 packs a day, and it's not going to damage his soul. Come on, man. Our Lord said that. That's not what goes into the mouth of the foul man. It'll give him cancer, it might kill his body. It's not going to send him to hell. Tell you what will is this enmity against God, this wrath, this hatred, this wickedness that comes out of his heart. That's what God does, take care of his heart. And one old writer said, we haven't repented unless we've repented of our goodness. But God saves very few self-righteous Pharisees. That's right. You look in the Scripture, you won't find many accounts of it. You'll see Nicodemus, you'll see Saul of Tarsus, you'll see a few here and there, but most of those he saved, we saved out of the gutter. Saved harlots and publicans and real bona fide sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. He said, sinners. so we repent of our self-righteousness. He saved the few out of the few. We've got to repent of our self-righteousness. Lord, I renounce all my past religion, all my baptisms, all my prayers, all my Bible reading, all of that. It doesn't account for anything. It doesn't merit me anything. All of my witnessing, all of my self-renunciation, all of that is nothing. I'm completely dependent. This is what it means to believe. He said, repent and believe. This is what it means to believe. It means to believe God. God said your righteousness is filthy right. When you believe, you say, true, Lord. God said we're always an unclean thing. To believe is to say, true, Lord. God said my son is the only one I approve of. Faith says, me too, Lord. Amen. God says, he's the righteousness I'll accept. If you come unto me by him, I'll accept you. You're accepted in the blood. Faith says, I believe, Lord. I trust Christ alone. Nothing in me. No experience, no works, no anything. I look to Christ and Christ alone. That's saved. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Now that work, all that goes against the grunt of it. All that goes against this proud flesh. All of that is offensive to the natural man. Calling him a nothing and a no nothing and unfit and unworthy. All that's against his flesh. To say that all he's ever done all his life doesn't account for anything, all that offends our self-righteousness. So this work must be of God. If anybody repents, if anybody really believes from the heart, it's not just the head, it's from the heart. It's really believing in the heart. I know. It's really believing in the heart. God is true. It's not just saying, well, I don't like it, but it's true. It's saying it's true, and I believe it's true. I know it's true. And it's from the heart saying, I do believe in Christ. I love that he's my son. That's the work of God. It's not of yourself. This faith is not of yourself. It's the gift of God and the goodness of God. Made us things of repentance. See, God gives all of salvation. So, Lord, where is that? Where is Jonah tonight? It's all of God. He does this work. All right? Now look at how he does it. He does it by calling out his sheep. This call, what I'm doing right now. I know it's just a man here, and that's that. I give myself the benefit of that. But just a man standing here, like any other, shorter than most, dumber than most, just a man, just an earthen vessel. All right? But God uses exactly what I'm doing right now, exactly what I'm saying. Not me, but what I'm saying from here. This is what God uses to call out his sheep. This is the lariat, if you will, the lasso, the cord. It says he draws them with cords of a man. This is it. This is the gospel call. This is the shepherd's voice. Though it be but the voice of a man, yet it's the shepherd himself. This is how he calls us. Sovereign, powerful, effectual call. Verse 16 and 17. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now here's two brothers in a boat. They're doing what they've always done all their lives. Two brothers in a boat, two fishermen. Now back then, being a fisherman was rougher than it is even now. It's a tough job now. I wouldn't want to do that on the Great Lakes and some of these places. Can you imagine that? Tough job. This is a tough food job. Pretty rough, isn't it? Now, these are two pretty rough fellas. Guaranteed. they're in this boat, and they're out in the boat. They're, I don't know how far offshore they were. Not, well, they're close enough. Well, he could call them places 12 miles out. But anyway, they were out in the boat. Okay? I believe that he was in sight anyway, within earshot. Two brothers in a boat doing what they've always done all their lives. They're not interested in God, Brother Henry. They're not seeking God. Are they? They're fishing. They're not praying. They're not reading their Bible. They're not attending the church. They're fishing. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in religion. Chances are there were some fellows came by before and tried to talk to some Pharisees, tried to y'all need to be in the synagogue. Go on, preacher. Huh? You know it's so. They're not interested in the Christ. Everybody's talking about the Christ. No, they're not interested in others. Man, what is their hope? What is their hope of salvation? How are they going to be saved? Huh? How are these fellows going to come to the Lord? The Lord's going to come to them. The Lord's going to find them. Lost people can't find their way. Somebody's got to find them. Chose them, and here he comes. Oh, here's the king. This is God. He chose them before the world. And it was soon the body. Now, what right are you soon about this? Why Christ came? Why God came to earth? Now, you may believe that if God came down here to do something, only he could do it. Huh? Any of your own business or whatever, in a certain time, certain things, your employees or whoever it may be, just are messing up, they can't do it, they just can't do it, and if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself, right? If you want it done, let's say you're little small children, you said to me, they just can't do it. So what do you got to do, Brother Steve? You go out there. Why are you going out there to get the job? You see the picture? Why did God come to this earth? There was something on him. He did it. And he wouldn't have come if someone else could do it. And he wouldn't have come if he wasn't going to do the job. What the Lord begins, he can. All right? He comes. He comes, this is the king coming to make up his subject. This is the shepherd in search of his sheep. Didn't he say, I will leave the 99? That's all the past saints that are in glory. I'm going to leave the 99 in search of that one sheep. Go to great lengths to find the one. And it says in the scripture, and when he finds it, there's no doubt about it. He's going to find it. If you're one of these sheep, he's going to find you. If he hadn't already, he's going to get you. He's never missed a hair or a heel. Never missed a hair or a heel. He always gets his what he's after. Well, he says he came. All right, verse 17, Jesus. You see, this is more than just. Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, do you see this picture? These fellows are out in the boat fishing. Doing all their work. You know, it's hard and laborious work, and here comes this preacher. I think they've heard about it. I think they've heard about it. Everybody's talking about it. They knew it for one of them probably looking at it. From way back. They're gathering the next one. their ears. This is not your place. You notice there's no imploring or beseeching on the fact that he just, come ye after me and I will make you. Come, I will. Not if you will come and let me. He says, come and I will make you. Did they come? Did they come? Oh, yes. You said in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come. They shall. Our Lord came to this earth looking for his sheep, and he found every one of them. And when his time was filled, he went back and he sends the Holy Spirit to search the rest of them. And he finds them all. All the Father gives me shall come. He finds them up the tree, like Zacchaeus. Finds him up a tree. You ever been up a tree? He finds him up a tree. He finds him at a well, like that woman. He had five of them. Four of them. Finds him in a well. Finds him in the ditch. In the gutter. Found him in a boat. They all come. Come. Verse 18. What does it say? And straightway. They forsook their nets and followed them straightway. That word means directly. Directly. That's an old country word. Directly. No, wait a minute. We use that kind of bad. No, I'll be there directly. That's bad. No, that's not what this means. This means directly. Straightway. That's straight to him. One way. Well, wait a minute. We'll put our net. No. When the Lord called, there's no beating around the bush, no fooling around. No, well, wait a minute, I got to go see the devil. Not when the Lord really called. Well, the Lord, we need, when I get older, when I get married, when I have children, when I get settled down, when I get a better job, when I get settled in. No. Our Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And bless him on earth. If you do, all these things you have to do. Seek ye first. He said, except you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my son. And yet, in the goodness of our Lord, he restores everything a hundredfold. But he just says, seek ye first. Come, straightway. Right now. Come. And they didn't pray. When the Lord called, he said, they come. Straightway. They forsook their nets. Now, like that woman at the well. That woman at the well, she was a poor woman, forlorn woman. She came with this water pot. Remember? She came to get water at the well, had this big water pot. I know all you ladies have some favorite pictures of maybe your grandmother's hand down to you and all that. You don't want to let go of them. Take the drop from the bracelet. Back then they had even less. He might have just one big water. He came and it says when he called her, she forsook her water. She left her water pot and took off. He back at home to tell everybody he's here. Come see a man, the prophet of Christ. They left their nets. Brother Sam, that was their bit. That was their everything was in the nets. Fishermen's nets, his livelihood, are expensive. They require much upkeep. They spent years, maybe they were handed down. They wove them by their own hands, brother. They wove these by their own hands. Hard work, you put. What is this net? And what would make a man or a woman forsake everything? Forsake everyone and everything. What would make a man or a woman just esteem everything as nothing? Says, look at it again. It says, straightway they forsook their nets and followed him on that person. Religion. Don't forsake your nets for religion. It's a net.
Him. Father, Him. Christ is all. Look at the next. Now, here it comes again. Verse 19. When he'd gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway, immediately, he called them. How did he call them? Come. And he says, verse 20, straightway he called them, and they left their father, not just their nets. Dear old daddy. I don't know if he had any religion. If he did, they left this. Guarantee you he had something. They left it too. Their father and his religion and the ships and hired servants. This tells me these weren't poor parents. They had hired servants. They had boats. They had nets. It was the father's business. They had a little livelihood here. Had homes and families. These men were in their 30s. Doesn't say anything about the wives and families of the disciples. Just Peter's only one mentioned by his wife. It's in this very chapter. But I guarantee you, the rest of them had, most of them had wives and families. Peter, on behalf of all of us, said, we're just taking on. They let them go. He called them straightway. They left it all. What did they go after? First woman, they went after him. You see? They went after him. Him. You remember the story? Let me tell this. No, I'll quit. No. Read these next two verses. Let's read these next two verses. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered the synagogue. Now these fishermen, just a few hours removed from their nets. They went with him in the synagogue. And he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrines. Now, I used to read this thinking that this was just the people in the synagogue and all that. And they were. Everyone was astonished, amazed. No man spake like this man. We'll see why in a second. But this is the disciples, too. They're astonished at his doctrine. You see, they're astounded. They're spellbound by his power. They had to come and call to begin with. So he called like no mere man could, like no mere preacher coming out of the road could. When he came, they came. When he called, they came. And when he taught, when he preached, he says he taught, they were stunned. And he, because he taught as one that had a heart. Well, I told you, he does. This is the key. He does have a heart. All of them. And I like this line. It says he didn't teach like scribes. You've heard scribes teach, haven't you? Third and fourth chapter, the third epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and we shall listen to the hearing of Paul today in our reading. We can't convince a flea of anything. It's a man of authority. It's a man with all authority, and not like the scribes. Boy, they were mesmerized. They were astonished at his doctrine. I'll tell you this, I thought about this. When you first heard this gospel, when you first really heard this gospel, that is, when you first heard God speak to your heart, what'd you say? What'd you think? Well, speak like one has his heart. He doesn't speak like my preacher. Huh? Didn't you think that? Sounds like one of his prophets. When you first hear Barnard and one of these guys, you'll hear the difference, what I'm trying to say. When you hear, when God finally speaks, you'll hear the difference. You'll say that. This is God's justice. This is God's truth. This is the voice of Christ. This is the gospel of actual saving. This is God who is God. This is Christ who is Christ. This is blood that actually comes in us. This is actually good news, isn't it? Well, what will make a person forsake all when they find something better? Something better. You remember this story? My pastor told this before about someone was in a restaurant one time, and there was a couple sitting beside them at the table, and they had one of these unruly children, you know, 9 out of 10 of them are, screaming and hollering, you know, pitching a fit, and the parents can't do it. If you don't put that, I'm going to what? You know. Well, I'm going to whip you. What he had blessed him did hurt. If you don't quit that, you don't, you know, and they were doing this, threatening this kid, but he had what it was. He had an ear of corn. Corn on the cob that he was eating. About a 4-year-old boy. He was eating that, and they were ready to leave. And they were trying to leave. Let's put that corn in. Must have been some of him in your silver coin. Eating that corn, he said, let's go. And he said, no, or you kept eating that corn. And they were threatening him and all that. And this preacher was in the restaurant. He heard all this going on. And they were dragging the kid. They were dragging him. He still had that ear corn. And put that down. Well, he wouldn't. And finally, the preacher had all that he could take with all this going on. And the preacher went up to the counter and bought a Hershey bar on the waiter, a Hershey bar. He went over that little kid and handed, stuck it out like that, and he just dropped that ear corn. What will make the person let go of something and then find something better? Something better. The whole book of Hebrews is about Christ is better. Better than religion, better than men, better than ceremonies, better than churches and denominations, better than anything. Christ is all the religion, they just drop it off and go after him. And he calls you, you will. All right. Has he called you? Stand with me. Our Lord, thank you for your sovereign call, your gospel. Thank you for your word. We thank thee that thou art God, our King, that you did indeed come to this earth to find your sheep. You found them and are yet finding them. And that's our prayer, that you would call out more for your glory, for their good, for their salvation, for the glory of your Son. We met in his name tonight and give thanks. Let me turn this tape.